The first reading comes from Psalm 121. That's Psalm 121, the entire psalm. And you can find that on page 571 in the Red Pew Bible or on the screen in front of you. In this well-known psalm, King David reflects on God's constant presence. We realize that from the beginning and the end, and even the end of our lives, God will be by our side. Let's read. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep you going from this time and forevermore. Amen. Here ends the first scripture reading.
Thanks, good job. I want a transformer blanket. Anyone else want a transformer? This past week, we've been having a little trouble getting internet in the sanctuary. And just for the last couple months, so this past week, I went and bought a new router. So I went to Best Buy, and I walked into the store, and I knew exactly where they were. Went over to the aisle where they were, but just the beginning part of it, and there's a salesman right there talking to someone else about routers. And the very first routers that were closest to me were $300. That's expensive for a router. And they had all these antennas going everywhere. And the guy looked at me looking at them with a puzzled look. He goes, oh, no. Those are the ones you want. You stack three of them on top of each other, and you can talk to God. I'm serious. I said, well, that's good, because it's going to the church. So he was. I gave him my card, and he didn't recover. So then I bought a $70 router, and it works fine. It works fine. We've had a lot of fun over this past year doing the Apostles' Creed. It's our last week. We brought up some of the images, some of the things that we've used. I was able to break a mirror, if you remember, because we talked about the beginning. I believe it really has not to do with us. It has to do with the faith that God Almighty has given to us. So it's much less about us and much more about Him. And we got to talk about hell. That was fun. And I got to dress up. That's supposed to be me. That really scared me when I walked in the sanctuary this morning. Go close to it. It looks really, really real. We talked about seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. We talked about the forgiveness of sins. And we had a number of other examples that we were able to use to remind us why every single Sunday we say the Apostles' Creed. And to be able to put it in context not only of our own daily lives, and this is where we're going today, but also be able to draw from Scripture and know that the words of Scripture, as they held true 1,500 years ago, so they also hold true today. That's part of this church that I love, is that we are able to feel connected to a body of believers, not just a few years back, not just a few hundred years back, but every time we say the Apostles' Creed, we can tell that we are connected to Christians thousands of years back as well. We're part of a people who have been given by Almighty God an opportunity to worship Him and understand Him like never before. Today we're at the last part of the Apostles' Creed. The last word is always amen, isn't it? If you want to get people to be quiet, you bow your head and then you say amen, and they'll be quiet. At least in mainline Christianity, do you find that? If we want to end a prayer, we say amen. At the end of my sermon, I always say amen. Remember the red hymnal? What was at the end of every single hymn? Amen. It was added in there later, but it had to be in there, right? Some of you still miss it, I know. But that's not true of every tradition, is it? In some traditions, I know where I've preached, amen doesn't mean stop. it means keep going, right? And a lot of times when you say amen in those traditions, it's kind of a call and response. And another word that they may follow it up with is preach, or well, or now that's the truth. We've heard that a couple times, not in this sanctuary, but you see that in your bulletin today. Amen is such a versatile word. It can mean so many different things. What we're going to do today to finish our Apostles' Creed sermon series, there shouldn't be a dry eye in the crowd today. No. As we finish our Apostles' Creed sermon series, we're going to look at that word, amen, and see the variety of ways in which it's used. Because it doesn't mean in Scripture stop, and it doesn't mean any one particular thing, but it can mean a whole variety of things. And we're going to kind of follow our way through. This Sunday's going to be a little different. You are going to need to have your Bible in front of you. And this may be the only time I'm allowing you to take your phones out if you have your Bible on your phone. Okay, I got crazy looks there. Some of us use our phones for the Bible as well. Well, let's go ahead and let's open up our scripture to Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 through 21. But when we're done reading these verses, don't close your Bible, because we are going to be looking at a number of other scriptures as well. Revelation 22, verses 18 through 21, the very last words of the Bible. These are the very last words of the Bible. What we find is the following, written by our friend John as he was on the island of Patmos. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away that person's share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. The one who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we do ask you now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, that they would be worthy and acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You probably didn't know it, but you all are able to speak Hebrew. Amen is actually a Hebrew word. It's not English or American, however you want to classify it. It is a word that comes directly from the Hebrew. And in Hebrew, it's used in a whole variety of different ways. And I want you to keep your Bibles out, because we're not just going to be looking at Psalm 121 or Revelation 22. Traditionally, how have we been taught as far as what does amen mean in Sunday school or in other places? How have you taught, if you're a teacher, or how have you heard, if you've heard it from someone, what does amen mean? So be it. Exactly. So be it. Boy, that's right in my notes. So we were taught by the same people, apparently. That's what we have been raised to understand that word to mean. Meaning that you can confirm or support whatever has just been said. But when we look through Scripture, we find that it can also mean to make firm, to trust and believe, verily or truly, firmness and steadfastness. So the first place that I want you to look at is my favorite place where amen is used is in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 9. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 9. And here you read the following. It's the second part of verse 9. If you do not stand firm in faith, you shall not stand at all. Anyone hear amen in that? I don't hear amen in that. Well, let me read it to you in Hebrew. And then tell me if you hear amen in there. Im lo ta'aminu, ki lo ta'amenu. Do you hear amen? It's used to mean, basically, if you do not stand firm in faith, you shall not stand at all. If you do not stand firm, amen, is where that word is used. Let's look at Exodus chapter 4, verse 31. Let's see if you read amen in this one. 4:31, the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had given heed to the Israelites and that he had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshipped. Anyone see amen in there? No. The people believed. In Hebrew, it's a verb. It's amen. The people amened. Okay? And as a result of that, then they bowed down and they worshiped God. Psalm 41, verse 13. Psalm 41, verse 13, we read the following. It's what I call the double dip of amen. I don't really call it that, but verse 13, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. That time it's pretty obvious. That time you can find it pretty easily. And then I'm not going to make you turn because it's a really hard book of the Bible to find. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. It tells us that the righteous shall live by their faithfulness. And that word faithfulness is amen. The righteous shall live by their amen. And again, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 6. You don't have to turn there. For the first time in generations, the book of the law was found, and they opened it up, and it was read in public. And when it was read in public, the people proclaimed amen and amen. What I do want you to find now is, if you can turn to Hezekiah chapter 14, verse 7. Hezekiah 14, verse 7. Whoever gets it, just go ahead and read it right out loud. No one? Okay, I got you there. There's no Hezekiah in the book of the Bible. Y'all were looking, though. You were looking. I heard those pages turning. So amen has this broad, broad variety of meaning, doesn't it? It tells us a lot. It can be a noun. It can be a verb. It can describe all sorts of things. And it's not just a closer. But it's a very powerful confirmation of all that has been said. In some cases, it's even a binding contract. It's an assertion that not only do you agree with what has been said before, put that within the context of the Apostles' Creed. When you say amen, you're not only saying that you agree with what has been said before, but you also support and will live by what was said. That's a lot of meaning in that little word. When you say amen, you're signing on. And it's imperative that we finish the Apostles' Creed with amen today. Because yes, it's an ending, but also because it's a handshake. And it's our signature that says that by God's power, I will live this way. Think of all the things in the Apostles' Creed that we've looked up, that we've looked at up to this point. Think of the amen that follows all that we've said and all that we've learned. It's not casually or haphazardly thrown in there. When you say amen at the end of the Apostles' Creed, you're saying, I believe in what was said, and I will covenant to live according to what Christ said, according to what Christ has handed on to us. Let's go to the New Testament. Let's look at Revelation. These are the very, very last words of Scripture that we have. And these last words give us an amen, but it also gives us a little bit of a warning. It also gives a little bit of a curse, I guess, to anyone who would change what has been said before that. If we want to apply that to the Apostles' Creed, when you say amen to the Apostles' Creed, you're saying I agree to that, but also anyone who's going to change that, beware. It's the same thing that John says here at the end of Revelation. Amen, I agree with what has been written before. And if anyone changes that, then you need to be really, really wary. and the value of the scripture, we always thought in the end of chapter 22, is this eternal hope that we have in the coming of Christ. Have you ever heard the word Maranatha? Right? That's where we get this word, come Lord Jesus. We find it at the end, at the very, very end of the book of the Bible in Revelation. And so this amen in Revelation is a confirmation of our belief, that which is final. But what we find also is that we know the end of the story. And that's what Revelation tells us. We know how it all ends. Recently, there's been a series of, pictures that have gone viral on the internet. And it's pictures taken by a husband of his wife before she was diagnosed with cancer until the very bitter end. And it's touching and it's poignant. But what we're going to find, and we're going to look at that, what we're going to find is it doesn't reflect our hope. It doesn't reflect the amen that we find in the Apostles' Creed, which does not mean this is where it ends, but rather which means there's more to it. If we can go ahead and run that.
Jesus' blood never failed me yet. Never failed me yet. Jesus' blood never failed me yet. This one thing I know, that He loves me so. Jesus' blood never failed me yet. Never failed me yet. Jesus' blood never failed me yet. This one thing I know, that He loves me so. Jesus' blood never failed me yet. Never failed me yet. Jesus' blood never failed me yet. This one thing I know, that He loves me so.
Understanding that we have as far as the final amen culturally, but that's not the message that we get in Scripture. And where we read I loved it all, or I lived it all, what Scripture tells us is that we haven't lived at all unless we've embraced the final word, that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. When we come to the end of the Apostles' Creed, when we come to the end of Scripture itself, we need to know that it always ends in victory. We know how it ends. And as a result, we can live our lives without compromise, knowing that even in the midst of that joy and the pain, knowing that the affirmation and the suffering that we experience now will all be redeemed in Christ's coming. That's why in Revelation we say, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Our amen here in Revelation is a stamp of approval of this good news. Now there is a little bit of a warning in Revelation as well. I don't know if you caught up on it when it talked about plagues and when it talked about beware. And that warning is for those of us who might be fun, who might think it might be a little fun to think off the top of our heads theologically without any grounding, without any firm foundation. And John tells us that the Amen is resting upon all the words that we find in Scripture from the beginning to the end. Just like in the Apostles' Creed, that Amen rests upon the foundation of all the words that we find and that we've said together from the beginning of that creed to the end. When you read Amen in Revelation, it's stating that what you read up to now is the truth. Amen. That's the truth. But Pilate would ask, in this changing and shifting world where people see truth as relative, well, what is truth? And it's a question we may have asked as well. Our belief in the truth ultimately will decide whether we believe that God is in charge or not, whether God is going to win at the end of the day or not. If we don't know Jesus as Savior, as the way, the truth, and the life, then we're going to wander our entire life looking for pearls in the mud upon which to base our lives. That's not a satisfying way to go about our lives. Throughout Scripture, we find Jesus referred to as the Great Amen. Revelation 3:16. Not John 3:16, but Revelation 3:16. Jesus is called the Amen. Throughout Scripture, Amen and the truth are seen as synonymous. And Jesus, we know, self-identifies as the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he said. Or he states, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What Revelation teaches us here is that any authority that we have, and any authority in our speech, and any truth that we can utter, can only find its origin in God's Word. This is our foundation. This is why we're able to say Amen. Not because we've been creatively thinking of ideas about God, but because Scripture lays it out for us. Wow, I don't know what to do with that. Wait, you're in the wrong culture now. Hold on. The Apostles' Creed, it really isn't a fabrication of the church fathers. It's not just something they thought of. It's a scriptural decree that ends with Amen because it is the truth. And so often, as a church, we may speak without realizing that our authority doesn't come from us. We're not able to speak with authority as a church because we are the church. That's not why. We're not keepers of the word. We're the disseminators. Our Amen ought not to be kept locked up and within the community, but rather the truth should go out. The church also is not Jesus. We are not the truth, but rather we represent him. The church, we don't possess the Holy Spirit. I know we've used those words before. Rather, the Holy Spirit possesses us. Amen is a reminder to all of us that, you know what, we are ultimately people of the Word. That's where we find our foundation. We do believe in certain unchanging truths which we find in Scripture. We do reform society with the Word, and we are constantly being reformed by the Word. We are not constantly being reformed by society, which I think sometimes we take that phrase, always reformed and always reforming, or being reformed. And sometimes we think that being reformed refers back to society, where being reformed refers back to the Holy Spirit and Almighty God, who changes us and allows us to be changed. Amen does not mean, church of 183 years, listen now, Amen does not mean that we are set in our ways, but rather that we believe that we are ready to be shaped and guided by that to which we just amend. The final words of Revelation that we find It belies an expectancy for the second coming of Christ. You know what's going to happen when Jesus comes back? Everything, not everything, but so much of what we believe now is going to change. It's going to be completely different than what we thought. I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced that those things that I think are absolutely true, when Jesus comes, he's going to show a different way. But until he comes, because he hasn't come back yet, but until he comes, what else can we base our beliefs on? What else can we base our hopes on than what he's given us, which is found in Scripture? And until that time, let us join together and say amen to that which we believe and will follow. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Loving God, we do give you thanks and praise because you are the great amen. And we know that the end of the story is going to be so different than what we think or what we expect. And so we allow room for that as if we are the ones who should allow for it. God, change our minds and change our hearts so that we don't in any way feel like we are the possessors of the truth. That we are the ones who have to dictate to others how to live or how to be, but rather help us to use your Scripture, loving God, and understand your Scripture in such a way that it's dynamic, that it changes us, but it also, Lord, gives us a foundation. Your word gives us that foundation, and when we say amen, what we're saying is that we agree to it. We've signed on. We're shaking hands with you. We've signed the contract. We've agreed to be your disciples. And all that's involved in that. And sometimes what's involved in that is not the easiest. Because we limp along with uncertainty and trepidation and doubt at times. So help us to know that even as we do that, you confirm us and you uplift us and you strengthen us in our walk. We pray this now in the loving, loving name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.